Hello and welcome to edition 190 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. I'm Michael Bailey. Hello there. And in this podcast, we are going to preview the 2017 Belgian Grand Prix, the return to action following a very quiet summer break. We will discuss the return of the championship battle, the Star Spa turn, and Jolyon's long goodbye, or not. Joining me on the pod for tonight's F1 fun once again are Steve Rust plus the Springles, Callum and Dan. That just amuses me when I say it like that, Callum.
Does it?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just the ability to play with your surname and turn the world on its head. Anyway, everyone all right? Everyone okay since the last pod, Dan?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Good. I feel a bit dry in my throat. Bit of a frog in my throat. I'm sure we'll get through it. Before we get stuck in, this is part two of our three pods in 3 days. As you know, our F1 latest news pod is available to listen to on your podcast player of choice. Enjoy it. Along with all our previous editions, just visit nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. You'll find the link you need. Belgium. Love a bit of Spa-Francorchamps. Steve?
It's actually, outside of obviously Silverstone, it's actually one of my favourite races.
Yes. Yeah. Why?
It's just got a bit, the track's got a bit of everything, hasn't it? You know, you could probably pick out maybe like 50% of all the best tracks somewhere in there, and it's just got something a bit different. It's a nice setting. It's always a good race. The weather's always unpredictable, which makes it great. I just like it. I really like it.
Always wanted to go to Spa. When I was 13, we were on holiday in the Ardennes with my family at the same time the Belgian Grand Prix was going on. Must have been about 97. God, could have been the one where Schumi and Dees, no, I don't think it was 98. That was 98. Yeah, I think it was before that. It could have been, though. God, imagine if I think I might have missed that race. Bloody mum and dad. But anyway, they said, oh, no, we'll look into it. We'll look into it. And then I think they told me, nah, if we got a seat, you wouldn't be able to see a lot. Whereas I think they looked at the price and went, nah, that's too expensive. We're not taking you for a load of noise. I mean, obviously, I've forgiven them now, barely. Callum, you like this race? God, I'm bitter, aren't I?
Yeah, it's got everything on. You know, everything you want is good, sort of 3, 4, maybe 5 overtaking opportunities. Yeah, classic track is pretty much undroppable.
Actually, I was going to ask that because obviously we did the survey podcast, episode 160. I remember that off the top of my head. Go listen to it if you want. It's like 8 hours of survey gold. But one of the questions is, which races wouldn't you drop? And I'm pretty sure we all said Spa has to stay no matter what.
Yeah, it is a ready-made circuit for F1 cars. You know, it's not this kind of, I suppose, Mickey Mouse, to use the horrible cliche. It's not those kind of one of those kind of tracks like Abu Dhabi. You know, it just flows nicely. It says it all there. It's a driver's circuit.
Our very own Richard Baxter is going to Abu Dhabi this year, so it'll be interesting to see how much he enjoys the Mickey Mouse circuit. Hey, Rich, we're not jealous at all. Dan, you can give us like a circuit guide, can't you? Because apparently you've been all the time. No, you haven't been. Dan has. God, that's tense. Sorry, Callum.
Someone went and got seasick on the way.
I wasn't actually sick, but, you know, we went on the ferry.
I didn't think it was the tunnel. Yeah, tell us, you've been around the track as well.
Yeah, so I went with Formula 3 2015 and 16. Got to cycle around the circuit. That was an interesting experience, because so you go from, the television basically flattens out from the first corner to Eau Rouge and then up the hill up to Radium. So you have the grandstand is pretty level. It's like they've done it with a spirit level. And then you get round the first corner, past the pit lane exit, and you just drop straight down. So if you're cycling, it's really nice. You can build up loads and loads of speed, and then you can just propel yourself all the way up Eau Rouge and Radium. And so that was a pretty good thrill.
Is that your favourite part of the track, do you reckon?
I'd say Puon, the fast left. That's definitely my favourite bit. But yeah, the back straight is a lot more uphill than you'd think. That was long and quite difficult, cycling-wise. But then once you get to the chicane, Les Coumes, at the top of the hill, it's all downhill from there until you get to the very back straight of the circuit. So, well, back kink, I suppose. But yeah, it's quite a nice circuit to cycle around.
I was going
to
say, it just sounds like a magical place. So we'll probably get on The Sims. So I'll get my racing game out on them. I did it just before Baku, and raced it quite a lot, and that was quite a lot of fun. And then the race was f***ing awesome. So I think if I do it ahead of Spa, A, I'm going to have a lot of fun, and B, it'll be a great race.
Yeah.
It's got one of those. It's kind of the circuit layout itself, and then combined with the fact that the teams tend to bring us very low downforce and Spa and Monza specific aero upgrade kit, or downgrade kit, I suppose you could say. It kind of lends itself to shaking the order up a little bit, because depends whether someone's done their low drag setup better than someone else, or it's one of those circuits where Red Bull are always a bit of a dark horse, because you can get away with having high downforce because you can take more speed through the middle sector and kind of even that out with losing in sectors 1 and 3. But yeah, the circuit itself is always quite good for shaking things up itself. So,
and let's hope it does, because we've got a championship battle, a proper championship battle between two teams, Steve. It's recommencing. So have we all forgotten how it left? And it'll be so interesting, isn't it, trying to restart this from having not been in it for six weeks. I mean, that, or 4 weeks. That surely would be quite weird for Lewis and Seb, I'd have thought, as well.
Yeah, I guess so, really, because, I mean, it's normally three, isn't it? Because I think it's... Am I right in saying it's because we haven't had a German Grand Prix as to why it's one longer or what?
Yeah, I think normally the last weekend would be the last race before the break would be the last weekend of July, and I think this year it's sort of a week earlier,
I think. But yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I mean, that I don't know, really. I mean, what is it now? 12 points, I think, is where it left off. Because obviously we had Silverstone closed up massively, and then everybody thought that it was then going to start continuing that way, and then it flipped the other way, which is great, you know, for fans alike and people watching. But it sets it up quite nicely, really, for the end part of the season. You know, if it's going to flip between each race, maybe, or maybe a couple of races and then another couple of races in the other direction, because come Abu Dhabi, it really could be really down to the wire.
How important are the wingmen here? Because I'm going to assume that they're not really involved in the title battle. And obviously we had the situation between Lewis and Valtteri in Hungary, where basically Lewis gave up 3 points. So what Kimi and Valtteri bring to this is going to be quite important for their number one drivers, isn't it?
I don't know. I think you're kind of overplaying their importance to a degree. I think Raikkonen will only pull out that, you know, he'll only put together the whole weekend that he needs, probably one in every five, one in every six maybe. And Bottas is pretty much fighting for his, you know, off his own back as well. So he's as much of a threat to Hamilton as he is to Vettel.
Current driver with the most wins at Spa, gents? I always like asking a question.
It's Raikkonen, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd probably agree.
Of course you would. It is! Well done, Callum. Do you know when?
It's 2005 was one of them. 2007.
Yeah.
And 2009.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one more. Is it 04?
Yeah, well done. 10 points. 4 race wins. Lewis and Seb then have both got 2 apiece. He likes it around here. It's around here, Kimmy.
Yeah, some drivers just generally have those kind of circuits. Like Button had Melbourne, Hamilton has Hungary, and Raikkonen has Spa. Like it generally suits him, because I think generally his characteristics as a driver, he suits more quite a pointy car, and I think that lends itself to the track layout at Spa. I think when you have a bit more oversteer in the car, naturally it can be tamed a little bit with speed. So obviously with the highest speed track on the calendar, probably abates the issues that he would get in terms of traction on a slower track.
Going into the second half of the season, Steve, how do you see it in terms of championship battle, and who's, you know, clearly Seb's leading and Mercedes and they're ahead in the Constructors' Championship, and that they look both good bets.
It's difficult to read. I had a scan through the remaining races, because 9 left now, isn't there, before coming out tonight, and I was trying to figure out what tracks I thought would be weak for each team, but even that's a little bit of a guessing game, because you can't go on previous seasons as such. But I don't know. I think I could see one team winning the Constructors, but a different team with their driver winning the championship. I think I can foresee it like that. But which way round, I find it really difficult to try and put a finger on which one.
Obviously, the teams are shut down for 2 weeks over the break, completely, I'm sure, 100%. But there is a sense that teams are going to be bringing upgrades. And as we've mentioned in the last pod, it seems like Red Bull are the ones maybe talking the loudest about what they're going to bring. Renault too. Would you say that's fair? And what we're going to see from them?
well, over 2 weeks, you can shut down a factory, but you can't shut mines down. So, coming from an engineer's point of view, you're always going to be thinking about what you can do. But in terms of Red Bull and Renault, I don't know how much you can bring in terms of, unless they've been saving up something big, I can't really see them bringing anything that's a massive performance differentiator. But I think I read something earlier in the year that said they were going to pretty much give up on development this year and focus on 2018, but we'll see what happens.
Renault, is that?
Yeah, Renault.
I think I'd be a little bit surprised if Red Bull stole any or stole a march on anyone else. But I think Ferrari have been widely touted as being ones to keep an eye on with regard to a development drive. I'd be a little bit surprised if Mercedes had a little bit of a jump on Ferrari in that regard. But I think definitely later in the season, Mercedes are going to have a push, because I saw something earlier this week about Bottas saying that all tracks in the near future were going to more suit Ferrari because Mercedes don't have a very good high or maximum downforce package, as he put it. So I think long term it's with Mercedes, but as far as this weekend is concerned, I would say Ferrari.
Oh, that's very interesting indeed. Just one more on Renault. Jolyon's still going. He's still here. And
he's hanging on.
He's hanging on. And I guess if there is a bit of a tweak with the engine and the team, you know, have built a few more extra floors and wings so he actually gets to use them, and A, he doesn't break them and run out of them this time, this could be a nice little chance for him to show, having refreshed himself and had a bit of a break, to change the narrative, Callum, and show what he's got. Norfolk's own. He's not Norfolk's own. Go around.
Yeah, he's got a good chance. I think if we can compare Spa and Silverstone, then Renault are sort of at the head of the midfield, perhaps bar Force India. So, yeah, he's definitely got a chance. And if they're bringing updates, then that can only help, in theory. But no matter how good the Renault gets, it doesn't really matter what points he's scoring. It matters what he's doing relative to Hülkenberg. I know he said that he wants to concentrate on himself and everything, but it's all going to boil down to how he compares against his teammate, because if he can't compete, what's the point on the team side of having him? Even if he is paying into the team, it isn't that much. It's certainly not as much as the team would get if they had a better driver who'd score more points and get them further up in the constructors.
Steve, you surprised Jolyon's still around?
No, not really. I mean, I never really thought, and I don't think that for the remainder of the season Renault will make a switch. I don't think they'll do what some of the smaller teams have done in the past, obviously for other reasons, but I don't think they'll do that. I think if they do, that will be next season, but I think he's safe to the end of the season. Hopefully many more seasons to come there, but I think for the end of the season, I think he's fine.
One question we always like to ask ahead of the Grand Prix weekend, and this is, of course, Belgium. Most important weekend for. So, Callum, who is this the most important weekend for?
I'd say Ferrari as a team, because there was, by their standards, quite a bit of noise before the summer break that they were going to improve for sort of Spa and Monza, these kind of races. And this is prime Mercedes territory. So if they can at least get one car on the front row, I think that'll be a miniature victory for them.
Dan, I saw you nod your head in agreement there.
Yeah, I was going to say Ferrari and Sebastian Vettel, but you could probably also argue Hamilton as well to get back in front, maybe, or at least catch up a bit, being 12 points behind. And he kind of needs those extra 3 points that he lost in Hungary, which I think was a bit stupid of him personally. If I was in the car, I'd go, no, f*** you. You had your chance, Bottas. They're my points, my podium, so yeah, I'd probably say Ferrari and Hamilton.
Haas have changed their brakes, haven't they, I think, so that'll please Romain Grosjean, maybe. Personally, Jolyon Palmer, for the reasons previously discussed, he has the chance to change the narrative. Go, Jolyon! Steve?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably agree with it. I mean, it's that tail end of the season, isn't it? We're looking more and more at the front runners, so I'd probably... Bit of a dull answer, but I think I'd probably agree, yeah, it's going to be Mercedes, really. Hamilton, isn't it? It's part of the championship.
Get back on it as quick as you can. Back on the horse or a silver arrow. Anyway, plugs, social media channels. You want to know those, don't you? Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find Find us on all of those. The handle is at the NRF1. We've lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe and support us and sign up over the rest of this season. Lots of little things coming your way, so keep tuned in. Blogs, betting tips, everything you need to know, you will find at our website, nrf1.uk. And you can get in touch via email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love hearing from you. On its way is our predictions podcast, a bumper one, because we've got some mid-season predictions to get in. And if you're partaking in the prediction league, make sure you think about yours and get those in before FP1 starts in Spa as well. If you get a few minutes, check out our YouTube channel, nrf1.uk/nrf1tube. You'll find our own take on winter testing when we all went karting a few years ago. Wonderful impression of Kimi Raikkonen from DT. And also our video from the British Grand Prix, which is absolutely aces. But for now, it's goodbye from us. Goodbye from me. Goodbye from Callum.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Dan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from Steve.
Goodbye.
Thanks to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/NRF1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. The third of our three pods in 3 days will be with you next as we predict whether we'll get the core in Spa-Francorchamps and, you can't like that, and get in our mid-season predictions too. Until then, goodbye.